Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, wonderful ones. This week, I'm talking to the brilliant, funny Esther Manito, fellow comedian, parent and dad misser at present. I've got no gigs now at the moment, but roughly once a week, I'm doing an Instagram live with a former Hoovering guest. I've had people on like Rosie Jones and Desiree Birch and Mark Watson. It's not every single week. I had a no-show to one of them, which is being rescheduled because my kid was having an enormous, really long, long meltdown. They're not sort of at the same time every week or anything like that. But if you make sure that you're following at the Hoovering Pod on Twitter and on Instagram, you'll find out when the next one's happening. And I'm rescheduling the one that I had to no-show to with the amazing Sophie Hagen for sometime very soon. Also, I was on the news quiz last week, which is on BBC Sounds now. And I'm in a few other things on the box. The Trouble with Maggie Cole, which is on ITV Hub, and Trigonometry, which is a really interesting drama over on iPlayer. If you've got any spare dollar, I reckon, give it to a food bank. If you've got even more spare dollar, the podcast is on Patreon. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/thehooveringpod. It's how you can support financially the podcast and me in exchange for podcast-related perks like guest recipes and totally exclusive content. And I'm updating all that stuff on there all the time. So Esther and I are both in our own homes, hiding from our kids, eating things which our kids have made for us, which she has done a much more honest job of than me. When I do the podcast normally face to face, people are like, do you not want a selfie? And I'm like, no, couldn't give a fuck. What's the point of
podcasting? I'm going to draw one now. Picture of me and you. I'm absolutely shocking artist. So...
I did a quiz last night and there was a question in it about Frida Kahlo, and it was like, finish this quote, and she said something like, I don't paint something, I'm painting ... and the answer was my own reality, but lots of people answered lots of pictures of my own face, and we were like, yeah, maybe she like started the selfie, actually the beginnings of the feminist selfie with Frida Kahlo's million self-portraits.
Really did. She's basically kicked off Instagram and TikTok. That's what she did. Yeah. God, yeah. Frida, you'll be turning in your grave.
Yeah, I wonder if her estate has seen any of the financial benefits
of TikTok.
Yeah.
I don't understand TikTok. I don't know why I keep bringing it up. I don't know what it is.
I'm sort of teetering on the edge of a midlife crisis already from the fact that sort of once a week I'll find scribbled in my paper diary that I still have, look up TikTok.
Do you write that down? Just, look yeah. up TikTok. Right.
I know I need to spend, at one point early in lockdown, I was like, right, you got half an hour. Have a look at Twitch, you know.
I don't understand all of them, and all technology that I'm involved with tends to break. So I just have to accept. I do feel like I am turning into my mother, though. And I do remember about 5 years ago when my mum, we were talking about what our New Year's resolution was going to be. And my mum just went, I am going to find out what a Kardashian is. And I was like, I've got to that stage where I'm just walking around going, I don't know what popular culture is. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the words are. I don't fully understand. With TikTok, I don't really understand because it seems to be people just mouthing. So isn't it, I'm like, is this not just karaoke? Is that what this is?
Yeah, but without the singing, I think.
Right.
Just lip sync. It's just lonely lip sync. And whatever you do, there's versions of you doing it to the sides of you as well. That's all I've been able to gather off of it.
It's just thousands of you. God, it's narcissism gone mad.
Yeah. Sometimes it's very funny. It's just one of those things where you're like, oh, I can't be fucked to learn how to use this new form of it's taken me 10 years not to be shit at stand-up comedy. Stop making me try and learn new skills.
Yeah, well, I'm still working on the stand-up, so I'll just concentrate on that for now. in the isolation of my own house.
So we're both isolating with our kids. So we're eating something. Well, I think I've maybe cheated a bit on the brief, but the brief was... We decided we'd eat something that our kids have made us, and you have done brilliantly. What have you got? What have you got there?
I have a slice of white bread, smothered in margarine,
and toasted then or al dente?
It is toasted, but my daughter did say to me, "Do you want it like?" Because she was going, "I don't like it dark." So I just think a little bit toasted. I.e., she didn't want to have to wait for the toaster to do the full toasting.
How old is your daughter?
She's six, but she did say to me, if the lady what you're talking to thinks that this is not really cool, then can you tell her that I'm three? But if she thinks...
I like the sound of this young woman.
She's like, but if she does think it's really cool, then can you tell her I'm six? I'm really into zoology. I was like, oh, okay.
This is amazing. Like one of those comedians that pretends to be, it was actually just my third gig. You're like, oh. Well, then you're amazing.
I've only been going a week. Jess, congratulations on being nominated. Yeah, it's really amazing because I've only been going 4 days. Some people have just got it, babe. Some people have just got it. So it's kind of like floppy toast, smothered in margarine, and then it's covered in cake sprinkles.
Great.
And then in the middle is one of those chocolate circles that have sprinkles on them that you normally get in pick and mix, and that's kind of like the cherry on the cake.
I don't know what it's called. Obviously, there'll be a photograph with the podcast, and yours will have to be the main photograph. It's what is it called? It's the same brand that do those little chocolate mice, isn't it?
And yeah, you get white ones.
It's basically quite shit chocolate, isn't it? But it looks amazing for kids.
Yeah, and it's got like multicoloured sprinkles on it. I can't think what it's called. It's
a poor man's Milky Bar button or whatever they're called. Maybe it doesn't have a name. Oh, I don't know. But I think it's a thing. Like, I think lots of people are quite into sprinkles on toast.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's American or Australian.
That got way more.
I know, I like that. I was like, what? I didn't say the earth is flat. Well, I've got the fussiest version of a cupcake I've ever had. But I feel really bad because I think I got carried away. When I said to you, should we do something our kids have made us? I had just got my kids to successfully help me with a dinner for the first time ever. We had this crispy pasta bake, but it was a piece of piss. It was like a tray bake I found on an Instagram video. And but he chopped all the mushrooms, he chopped all the mozzarella, and he stirred everything, he did all the tipping in, and it's the most he's ever helped with anything. He just loses patience and he couldn't give a fuck. And so off the back of that, I was like, well, let's do this. But then when it came to baking something for this morning, I thought I'd make like some breakfast muffins. He's absolutely contributed fuck all to these, and it's why they'll be quite nice.
It's why yours will taste nice.
Yeah, they're like a meringue blueberry cupcake thing.
Oh, that sounds nice. Fraiche. I'm really with creme fraiche. Check you out. Oh, fucking hell, I want your breakfast. Mine looks like a...
Sorry. Well, you've actually met the brief. I think I'd be, if this was Great British Menu, I'd be thrown off for...
Yeah, but if my son was helping me, I would be... I mean, my son just... Yeah, he's not interested. He's not going to get involved in that. It's only because she's
actually into it.
She's actually into it. But to the point where, you know, when you just want to cook and you're like, right, I just need to get the tea done, and she'll just come in and like go, oh, can I help? And those words... Like my stomach just drop, and you're like, no, just let me get on with it. I just need to cook this in 10 minutes. I don't need to fucking watch while you spray egg all over the wall.
Also, especially when eggs were a bit precious, I've never been so like, he's like, can I crack it? And you're like, no.
Those are also words that make your heart sink. Can I crack the egg?
Oh no. And you know, their filthy little hands have just smashed their way into the middle of it.
They're just shell over it. Yeah.
Fucking shell.
Well done. You're doing really well, darling. No, my son won't get involved in that. He won't get involved in that. He's not interested.
Well, I mean, if there's some spoon or bowl licking action, sometimes I get a bit of participation. But as a rule, it's so dependent on his mood. I'm afraid he's got his mother's terrible temperament. So it's absolutely no way of telling how useful he's going to be in a focused environment. until you're trying to do that. Yeah, I've just started eating mine. Sorry, I'm so impatient. My biggest flaws in doing a podcast about eating is I can't start talking about eating without starting eating, but I'm desperate to know whether yours is edible.
I'm just kind of like picking off the odd sprinkle.
Okay, you're not bringing yourself to have a bit of the actual soggy old toast.
I'm not. It's the sogginess of the toast.
I think there's other circumstances where I'd really... Coffee. Oh, yeah, good. I'd try and bully you into tasting that for the sake of the podcast. But actually, I think... we can all really clearly imagine what that tastes like.
Why is everything they do like moist? Why are they always shoving moist things into your mouth? And you're just always like, it's always like moist fingers or moist. There's a photo my mate took of me once, and it's just when we're around a friend's house and my son's just rajed this toy thermometer into my mouth going, take your temperature, take your temperature. And you're like, oh, and it's moist. I don't even know which child this they are a kind of very soggy soggy group of people, children.
So
it's not the most appetizing, I've got to say.
No, fair enough. Well, if it's any consolation, I made these cupcakes yesterday, and they were a good 80% nicer yesterday.
Okay.
They've gone a little bit dusty today.
Dusty.
I'm not...
what lovely adjectives to describe our food.
I must get better at just... Yeah.
We've got some moist, dusty
toast, whereas the cake that should have been moist, very claggy. Very claggy. Feel like you could use it to fill a hole, and not in like a sexy way. But the blueberries are nice. I think blueberries are levelled up by having been cooked.
Right,
okay. It's one of the most middle class things I've ever said, but I mean it.
Yeah.
Also, when I say the cake isn't as good as it was yesterday, I'm still putting it away. It's a really nice late breakfast, actually, isn't it? A whole fucking cake.
It's very Mediterranean to have a whole cake.
Is it?
You know, when you go to Italy and stuff, they'll just have like slabs of chocolate cake for breakfast.
The fuck? Really? Yeah, I knew you had like
coffee and cake.
Entire bowls of coffee and hot chocolate in France. I didn't know you got cake in Italy.
Yeah. When we went to Italy, I was just like, this is just like, everyone just eats properly, but it's just reduced portions. So it's like slab of cake for breakfast is fine. A pizza for lunch is fine, but like the dough's thin or the cake. So it's all just about portion control. Eat what the fuck you want.
Yeah. Yeah,
diet,
absolutely.
Diet guide by Esther. Just do it. Yeah. Eat what the fuck you want. Stop banging on
big
about
in,
it.
I'm big into, I have to be in the mood for cake, but I'm big into like normal dinners for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Always have been. Always have been, always will be. On the right day, I'd have a curry for breakfast.
How
do you feel about it? The one thing where somebody was testing me and I was like, oh no, you found my boundary, was soup. I think once I tried to have soup for breakfast and was like, no, what's happened?
I'm not a soup fan anyway.
Okay, fine.
I'm not a huge soup fan. Like when I'm really hungry, I don't mind it as like a starter or even like an accompaniment, but I'm not somebody who's like, oh, I'm really hungry. Let's just have a warm soup. It's not my, even the word soup.
Shit word, isn't it?
It is. It's a very kind of fubbagey word.
Yeah, bad PR. Don't know who started the marketing for soup, but that's so true. Also, I really like that. Yeah, if someone said, I'm really hungry, what do you want? You'd be like, well, more than that.
Yeah, I don't want a bowl of soup. I want something that will fill me.
Yeah, I don't want a slightly bigger drink that I have to have really slowly because I can't slurp it.
It's like when you're out with people, when we were up in Edinburgh and we'd been out like walking for hours and I was like, I'm so hungry. And the guy that I was with went, would you like an apple? I've got an apple in my bag. And I was like, that is the most unsatisfactory thing you could ever want. It's like, no, I'd like to stop and get some chips, please, or something substantial. I don't want the apple fished out from the bottom of your bag, which is really ungrateful of me to respond with.
I know. It's like, you know, when you go to a restaurant, like, I think the point of an appetizer is it's meant to like taste amazing and make you realize how hungry you are and make you really excited about the mains and make you realize that you need the mains.
Yeah.
But when you've just like got genuinely knackered and you know you're properly starving, you don't want a fucking appetizer apple, do you? No. You're like, no, I don't want to be tortured into realizing that I've had a tenth of my hunger met.
Yeah, no, I want a substantial pie.
Yeah.
Pie's a good one. I'm really into pies at the moment.
Are you into cooking? Pies. Talk to me about lockdown eating generally. Are you cooking more than you would normally?
Yeah, I
know
I
you're
am.
In more. Yeah, me too.
At home, quite a lot. I'm eating way better than I normally would because obviously, I've even lost a little bit because, I mean, to be fair, I did suddenly balloon because the moment I was gigging more up and down the country, often people stay places, don't they? But I'm like, now I've got to be back from Birmingham to do the school run the next day. I've got to be, I can't really stay over because I've got to come back and sort the kids out. So I was traveling up and down the country, getting these like midnight trains back and God knows what.
Mate.
And so I was constantly picking up like wasabis, McDonald's, all these kind of crap food on the way back, just anything. I'm starving and eating so late at night. And by not doing that over lockdown and cooking proper meals.
Oh, what you mean you've lost weight?
I've seen just like de-bloated quite a bit.
Do you think, I think there's an element of, I don't know. Like, I feel like our bodies, if you're a comedian and you're a working comedian who travels a lot, like you cannot really have any sort of routine. Even if you were so organised or desperate to be in control of exactly what you ate when, you'd kind of end up going, okay, well, I've got to eat at 6:30. Then that will mean eating something processed because you'll be on the move by then. Or you'll be full of adrenaline and you won't enjoy it. Like,
you can't eat before because you're kind of nervous and then there's the like mad hunger on the way back and then you're tired.
Literally, this sort of routine I've pooed in years.
Literally 2 years of processed shit has come out and I'm like, oh Lord, the relief.
That's your lockdown bin. I really shat.
I have shat like a motherfucker. I have birthed a village.
I think this is a the routine or the stability of this. The regularity of the stuff that we're doing. I think there is...
sleeping?
I don't know, I've not noticed any change in my bod. I pay very scant attention to that sort of stuff anymore. But I I'm aware of the rest. Like, I'm so aware now if I haven't had enough sleep, because there's no reason for me not to have. You know, I just go to bed early. You're not working. Just go to bed earlier. And I can feel it in my skin, the rest.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And the sunshine, I'm lucky to have.
I just noticed that it got to like Christmas time and I've been gigging so hard I'd just been travelling so much that I really did notice just like I wasn't really feeling, because I do understand, you know, how good your body feels on good food. And I just wasn't eating good stuff. And I was like, you know, when you literally feel like really claggy and sweaty, like everything about you is like red.
So it's like you were saying earlier, I think, about moderation, though, isn't it? Like, I can't wait. I also, in the same breath as saying all this pious stuff about how great it is that we're eating so wholesomely, it's like, I also cannot fucking wait to get a Nando's.
Oh, see, I am not fussed about a Nando's.
Oh, really?
I'm not a chicken fan. Like,
I get the chicken. I get their super green salad thing. It's so fit.
Sorry, Jess. Sorry. Sorry.
Are you hanging up?
That
I don't eat meat.
Imagine if you just had the slamming of the laptop. And done.
Yeah, end meeting for all. No, I don't get, it's not healthy. I get like corn on the cob covered in butter and halloumi.
The first person that I've ever met who's like, I'm really into going to Nando's for a salad. That's like saying I absolutely love a KFC salad.
I just don't eat meat very often.
No, I'm not a big meat fan. And I'm the whole chicken thing. Like, somebody gave me this voucher and it was like, you can spend £100. And they listed all the restaurants we could spend £100. And my husband, who is born and bred on a council estate, did the classic council estate response and just went, oh my God, £100 at Nando's. And I was like, whoa. Do you know how much chicken we could get at Nando's? And I was like, oh, that sounds like a really lovely night. Me watching you devour £100 worth of chicken. If I wasn't moist before, I'm definitely moist now, thinking of watching that little visual treat.
So are you doing the bulk of the cooking in your gaff at the moment? Or is it being shared with you and your other half? And what is it like lockdown eating, like with kids? Are your kids good eaters? Are they?
It just gets
exhausting, I think, trying to feed. I've only got one kid and just the planning is tiring, actually.
It is. Well, okay, so my husband is a weekend chef. He's a show chef. So, and he's, because the weather's been all right, he's been just barbecuing. And I've been going, literally like some kind of wartime bride, I've been going down and queuing at the fishmongers.
Nice.
But I've been getting fresh squid, massive prawns, and we've been barbecuing. I've been marinating prawns and squid, and we've been doing like barbecue calamari and prawns, and it's been absolutely amazing. So my kids have been eating that, which has been quite good. That's at the weekend.
It's amazing.
During the week, I've kind of gone a little bit vegan.
Have you?
Yeah, because I'm not a massive meat fan. So I'll make stuff for the kids and for himself, which is meat. But I've been doing a lot of like Korean cooking. I'm now following this woman. What's she called? She's called like Manchi, and she's got a channel on YouTube, and it's really easy to follow. I mean, she is brilliant because she is the loudest.
And
woman.
It's like vegan Korean food.
Yeah, but well, she does some like chicken and fish, but she does. I've just been doing a lot of her like tofu, or replacing what she does with chicken with tofu. So I've been doing tempura tofu, or tofu with noodles, or soups with tofu, and using like different marinades. But she is so good to follow on YouTube because she dresses amazingly. She's always got huge flowers in her hair and like really loud dresses. And she's the size of my thumb and she's really loud. And she's just like, they do this, they do that. And you've got to follow it at a really quick pace. But the food is awesome.
Wicked. It's awesome. So nice. And will your kids eat Korean food?
No, my kids will eat fish fingers. And my daughter is quite good at going, at least I'll give it a try. So she'll always give it a try. She's we've been growing quite a lot of stuff. So we've just got our first crop of artichoke, and I did artichokes. And my daughter was like, my son just looked at her and was like, no, it's green. So fuck you.
Yeah. How old is he?
My son's 4. So yeah, not, okay. How old are your boy?
4. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's not, I see like some little boys and eating, you know, trout and avocado, and my son's just like, sorry, unless it's chips or what's it, you can seriously do one.
Amazing.
But he will eat random little bits of Lebanese food that he's okay. So used to from birth. So he will eat like falafel, hummus, tahini, that type of thing. Homemade kebabs, he'll eat those till the cows come home. My daughter will give everything a try, but she's just discovered artichoke and is now making me steam an artichoke with a lemon and olive oil dip.
Whoa, that is a swanky 6-year-old. She needs to know that.
Didn't get that for my breakfast though, did I, Jess? That kind of thinking didn't go into my breakfast. Now I've got sprinkles and marge on toast.
Homegrown steamed fresh artichoke with lemon and olive oil. If that's the sort of stuff she's asking for lunch, she needs to whatever you do, lean in. Stop telling people you're 3 and doing amazingly for a 3-year-old. You're doing amazingly for a 6-year-old, mate. That is an extraordinary palate you've got on yourself.
I mean, that's probably the most...
amazing.
But she will just sit and devour whatever's put in front of her, to be fair.
That's she's a very good eater. Cool. Yeah, it's like an absolute luck of the draw, doesn't it? Whatever combination of tongue and brains you end up with on a kid as to whether or not they're going to be into what you're doing. My kid's always been amazing, and he will try anything, same awesome. Deal, really, not necessarily eat it. But he chose sort of the middle of lockdown to just get really angry about if something wasn't, and really rude, actually.
Oh, the rudeness really, has gone through the
really
room.
Really verbally, really, really bossy, really disdainful, disgusting. This is disgusting. And I cannot even, I was like, it's pasta and you like pasta. And he's like, stop saying it's pasta because you know full well there might be pasta there, but there's also 3 things I hate. I don't even need to try it because I know I hate it. And everything on that is something I hate.
Stop,
and I'm not even hungry for this
pasta.
And a lot of that, and he'll say, I'll do that thing, you know, you're supposed to like role model, so I'll like take a bite and be like, this is delicious, and he'll go, well, it's not delicious for me, it might be delicious for you, but it's not delicious for me, we're not having the same time, you know, just basically throwing logic in my face again and again and again, infuriating.
I love that, stop saying it's pasta.
And I get
stop
a lot of this. Do you get, stop saying that it's pasta. I mean, it was pasta, but it absolutely covered in vegetables. He says to me, I'm just not hungry for mains.
Yeah. What they do is they go, I'm not hungry. You put down the main dish. So my son will go, I'm not hungry. So, and then he just slowly pushes it away. Not hungry. So I'll just, and then.
How do you deal with that? Do you do the whole like, okay, that's cool. Well, it's not nothing.
Yeah. So I just go, that's absolutely fine. You don't have to eat that, but you're not having anything else. But then we all eat and then we finish and then we'll have, you know, our dessert. And he'll just go, yeah, now I'm hungry. So that's what I'll be having now.
Say scrum diddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum diddlyumptious.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness.
If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Have you eaten or drunk anything particularly lockdown-y, like something that you would or wouldn't have had in normal times? So perhaps a weird combination of things or something out of the back of the cupboard that you'd have never normally gotten to?
Yeah, we've gotten through pretty much all the tins. So we went through a bit of a phase of having like almost a wartime diet. It was just like, right, and for dessert, we're all going to have rice pudding. Because there was the tin of that in the back of the cupboard, just kind of as you just said earlier, lots of dusty food. So we're just dusting down food. So rice pudding was something that I don't know if I've ever had it before. You know,
yeah.
But there was a tin of it in the back.
I don't think I have.
It's not
since childhood.
Do you know?
I'm not drawn to the idea. Sweet rice.
I'm not. And do you know what? We've never had it because my granddad was a Japanese prisoner of war, and he was on the Burma Railway, and he said all we got was one. And he came back from the Second World War. He was like 4 stone something. It was he was in hospital for a long time, but he used to tell us stories as kids about how all they got was like this tiny bowl of rice a day. That's all they got. And then an aid plane came over and dropped parcels of food and everyone was scrabbling for food. And he said by the time he got there, all that he got was a tin of rice pudding. And he was like, well, yeah, fuck.
Whoa.
I mean, he had a good sense of humour about it. So that story has stopped us. So we never had rice pudding growing up. My mum never bought rice pudding. But my husband is like, oh, I like a bit of rice pudding. So he bought a tin of rice pudding. Ages and ages and ages ago, and it sat at the back of the cupboard, but now it's come out and the kids are like, this is brilliant.
Oh, they like it. I'm pleased. Like, I suppose it was so sweet and creamy. How could you not? They
does it like vomit, but, though?
Or discharge. Does it?
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Oh, but it's true.
Oh, she went there.
I'm sorry, but it looks like something that should be.
Anybody listening to this isn't going to eat that again. And we can pretend it's in memory and honour of your
really
granddad,
sorry.
And not just a thought of some cat dirty pants.
Yeah.
I want to know whether you got through the tins because you guys were shielding. Did you guys have symptoms, or you just were like, should we just get through this tin store?
We'll get through the
when
gym
else
store.
Are we going to do
yeah,
it?
Also yeah. Because the queues at the supermarket were just mental. Oh, the only supermarket that hasn't really had queues is Aldi.
What? We've had the opposite in Catford.
Oh, really?
Now, all the other supermarkets have managed their sort of people going in and out pretty well. Like, their queues might look massive, but they go down so quick. But Aldi, it's calmed down, I think, now. But, oh, like, three times I've walked or driven into that car park and gone,
no.
It's sort of loop-de-loop, yeah.
No, so, well,
it's a day trip, basically.
day trip to Aldi. Yeah. We've been all right with Aldi. So we've pretty much all you can get from Aldi is tins, but with all really obscure names. So instead of, like, tin spaghetti, it's, like, tinned, I don't know.
Spagotà,
or, you know.
Tinned, long sticks of pasta turned wet
pasta
in orange straws.
Yeah, pasta straws in orange glaze. My husband came back from, he did the shopping by himself, which is always a risky strategy, and he came back with a lot of, about 1,001 types of beers. He was really excited by the price of beer. So he came back with a lot of beer and then a lot of tins of obscure name stuff. So we've had, I'm not joking, in my cupboard now, there's probably about 47 cans of spaghetti spagotta. So kids have got into that. So spaghetti on toast is something that I've not really had. Rice pudding. also been trying to do homemade cocktails. So got a bottle of tequila and been doing a few homemade mojitos.
Nice. Mm. And do they taste all right?
Yeah, they're good. I mean, knock you for six.
Oh, great. So, no, well, that's exactly
blackout,
the point,
blackout
isn't it?
Blackout a few days. get through the lockout quicker. It's whizzing past.
They call them quarantinis, these homemade cocktails. That people are they? Making. Yeah.
Getting Where did you learn that? On TikTok with all your young people.
I think, do you know what? It's probably on the opposite. I think it's on a Radio 4 panel show. So. Couldn't be more the fucking opposite, could it? You mentioned Lebanese stuff earlier and that you're, even your son will eat some of that. So can you talk to me about eating growing up for you? And maybe about Lebanese eating culture, because I need to know. I know nothing.
Have you had Lebanese food before?
I must have had Lebanese food. I have definitely had Lebanese food before in restaurants in London.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether that's a good, you know, whether that's okay. I mean, I've been to Comptoir Lebanese and probably a few more independent ones in Soho. But don't think it counts. I feel like it's someone saying, have you had like a proper hamburger? And I'd be like, yeah, I've been to Morley's. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Lebanese, I mean, it's quite similar to like Greek and Turkish. So it's very kind of meats and fishes. Fish would be the plural. My spelling and my ability to speak has literally deteriorated before my eyes.
Oh, me too.
I'm sat down trying to homeschool my kids and they're like, how do you spell science? And I'm like, oh, sir, I don't know anymore. It doesn't matter. We'll never leave this house. You don't need to know about science.
Who cares now?
I know. It's all gone to shit. My mum is... born and bred in Newcastle.
Right.
So my mum was very much meat and two veg.
Right.
So that it would be those types of things, Monday to Friday. And then my dad, again, he was like the weekend chef. And weekend, he would literally cook the entire weekend. And that's when we'd have. So you start off your meal with a full on, we pronounce it meza, but meze. So it'd be like hummus. Right. Baba ghanoush, which is obviously the ground up aubergine with tahini.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, then you've got like the hummus with shawarma, which is like meat on top of the hummus, but it's like really, 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 really finely pureed. So it's like a paste. Salad. So you've got like fettoush, which is salad with deep fried pita bread. Then you've got tabbouleh, which is with wheat. So you've got all your different salads, all your different spreads. And then you can use bread, which is hummus, which is like a bread that's filled with air.
Oh,
so it's like a
rat. I thought you were gonna say a solid thing then. I was so ready for you to say
that.
A bread that's filled with nothing, a bread that's filled with ideas, a bread that's filled with hope. Yeah, absolutely fuck all that bread's filled with. Can't wait to try that.
Well, it's the way it bakes, so it rises, so it's almost so when you open it, it's warm and then,
I'm joking,
and
I love an aero.
Air's
really important in eating.
Yeah.
Lovely.
But also use lettuce. This is also very light and unappealing. But also using like lettuce leaves instead of bread, so it's lighter. So you're not getting too filled up. And then you have your meat. So you'd have kofta, grilled fish, and then you have that with rice, which is baked with like like vermicelli, the little noodly.
Oh, nice. I know what you mean. Yes, I definitely tried that. Were they a bit crispy?
Yeah, and so they're crispy in the rice, and then sometimes you have like ground nuts as well on the rice.
And the rice is baked, did you say?
Yes. So you cook the rice and then it's baked with the noodles and the nuts and the oil. And
I've done garlic. That. I've done rice like that from Ottolenghi recipes. Is he a bit Lebanese?
Who's he? Let me look. Ottolenghi.
Yotam Ottolenghi. I think he's got like mixed heritage. And so he mingles it all up in his recipes. But
Yotta,
he's got a lot of baked.
Maybe like his Israeli, which would be similar, I guess. Yotta. I don't know.
I mean, complicated politically. I'm just going to Google
food,
him now.
Israeli food will be very similar to Lebanese in what they cook. But so it's and then every meal would always end with a lot of fruit. And he used to get very annoyed because he would spend ages peeling, you know, pomegranates to get all the individual seeds out.
Oh, God, would he?
So he would spend like ages getting all the pomegranate, peeling it all out, putting it in a huge bowl, ready to have at the end of the meal. And me and my sisters would just like come downstairs hungover from the night before and be like, oh, man, and just munch through this bowl of pomegranate. And he's like, why are you, you just are the worst things I've ever contributed to. And you're like, really, sorry, Dad.
Oh, God, all that food sounds so good, though.
I know.
Bang into it.
I know.
There's a takeaway in Catford, and because I'm a complete piece of shit, I don't know the exact cuisine. I'm going to look it up. It's called Feyrouz.
Yeah, so that'll be Lebanese, because she's a Lebanese singer.
Oh, well, then I've had... is she?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me about Feyrouz the singer. Yeah, it's sign outside, says Lebanese street food. Well, yeah. I get a takeaway from there at least once a month, so I have Lebanese food at least once a month.
So,
And it feels like the baba ganoush is like different to any other I've ever had, because it tastes like it's got smoke in it. Do the aubergines go on the griddle maybe?
Yeah,
where they do.
So you grill.
Oh my God, it's one of the best things.
Yeah. And also, I mean, when you go to kind of like chains or things like that, they don't use enough lemon. They don't use enough garlic. You can tell them it just...
Yeah.
The thing is with Lebanese food is they either, to get that kind of citrusy taste, they either use a huge amount of tomato and pomegranate or they use a huge amount of lemon. And you've got, I mean, when I first got together with my husband, he was like, sorry, why do we need to buy 75 lemons per week? I'm like, because we are not animals. And...
And it's that or pomegranate picking.
What would you rather? It's that thing of like having a salad with every meal. Like we never ever had a meal. Even if my mother made a roast dinner, there was still a pot of tahini and a salad on the table. It was did not have any meal. So there'd be some weird crossovers. Like in Lebanese food, they do a lot of like yogurt with potatoes. So everything's a cooked in yogurt. So you do a lot with cooked yogurt, like cooked meatballs and yogurt, cooked rice with yogurt. So then that would cross over. So this is like where your mixed heritage just become very complicated. So my mother would make like, you know, roast potatoes. And there's my dad just like smothering it with yogurt. And my friends would come around and go, sorry, why are you eating chicken and roast potatoes and then smothering your meal in plain yogurt? And you're just like, well.
Oh, I'm into it. I'm into that.
Because I understand taste. But no, it was... I do feel like it gave me a good foundation with food.
I bet, yeah. If you're going shopping for 75 lemons a week, does that mean you're making these foods as well?
I am you a into cooking shit this stuff? Cook, Jess. I'm not... So,
I don't believe it.
No, but I genuinely feel like people have got like a natural flair for cooking.
Right. And do you take joy from it?
I love cooking. I do love cooking. Oh.
Then I bet you're not a shit cook.
Well, I'm not able to do things just like I look at my sister or my dad and they're able to just like go into a kitchen and go, right, I've got this and this. I'm just going to create this. I can't do that. I need a recipe. I need to be told what to do. It's probably because I'm also a little bit of, I get quite nervous about fucking things up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to mess this up. I would be too nervous. I don't have that confidence, the culinary confidence to just go, right, oh, that would go with that. So I need a recipe. And on lockdown, I have been demanding quite a lot of recipes from my dad, but my dad refuses to write anything or text anything. So he just rings up and lists what I need to do very quickly, very loudly, and then slams down the phone.
Sort of hoping you don't remember. So... I love that everything has to be a secret. So, but it's like, well, I'll do it if I can shout it really fast. It's like, oh, I love it. Really a helpful type of oral tradition. People are so romantic, aren't they, about the oral tradition of recipe sharing in different cultures. You're like, fuck off. It's really unhelpful, actually. It's like a terrible...
Or they're really patronising as well. Like my dad will be like, and then you have to peel the onion. And I'm like, oh, really? Do you? Because I've managed to get to this age without ever understanding that. But it's really important that a man comes into my life and explains that an onion must be peeled.
Oh, I love it that he whizzes through all the important stuff but will stop to tell you that you must remember to breathe in and out.
I know. Well, I mean, it's because I'm half English as well. So he has to make sure that I understand how to peel an onion, because obviously being half English, he's like, you don't understand the real way to get the flavours. So it's
We've all seen Bob, Jim and Ian just chomping on an onion it's an apple. They don't know.
We just don't know.
We don't know what to do with an onion.
I mean, although I have watched my dad nearly fall to his knees and cry as he has spent all day slaving over an amazing meal of different dishes. And then my husband's just come in and gone, oh, this looks great. And then dolloped a load of tomato ketchup in the middle of it. And my dad has literally gone,
dear.
But do you know though? Dear. I've kind of always overlooked that. But now I'm on lockdown and I'm cooking a lot more. When he does that, and I've cooked something, like even if it's just like making a lasagna with the kids, when he comes in and he's like, right, tomato ketchup, and you're like, that is so offensive. I never really got how offensive it was until
I remember somebody getting really, actually early on in this podcast, somebody had cooked something for me and I added salt without asking, because I'm obsessed with salt, like addicted.
Basically. No, I'm addicted to salt,
And she was just like, whoa, what are you doing? You haven't even tried it. And I was like, oh, God. Okay, that even that's really rude. But ketchup's way worse. I mean,
Way worse.
It's not seasoning. It's sugar and vinegar and massive flavors. Everything. Well, it's going to change what you've made.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I don't think if someone went and put salt on it, I don't think I'd take that as offensively. Is that the right word? Again, we've established that I can't talk anymore.
Who cares? Everybody listening's lost the power to speak in this.
I'm literally sat
anyway,
here,
hopefully.
No bra, holding a soggy piece of toast with sprinkles on it, just like stand-up comedy will be amazing when we're eventually able to return to it. And I'm just standing on stage going, hey, what you are? Shut up. Are those my feet?
Grey, hollow, weird people standing drooling, isn't it? Going, and then I one thing that, do you remember but please go and support live comedy as soon as it's available again,
please.
What was I gonna say
about tomato ketchup? No, because it does completely distort the taste. But
that's what I was gonna say. I feel, I don't know, you finished saying that.
No, but he grew up in a household where tomato ketchup did just go with everything. So for him, he didn't see it as rude at all, but he literally was stood there poised with the tomato ketchup and he saw my face and he realised that if he did do that, he would be living in the shed for the next 6 weeks. So he gently put the bottle down.
Oh, but, good boy.
I know, well done. But I was just like, it is something very insulting to you cooking, which takes a long period of time. Like, fair enough if it's chips from the takeaway or whatever, and you haven't put, but it's standing in a kitchen, putting everything together, cooking it for someone to then come in and go, and you're like, that's quite rude.
Yeah, it is.
Rant over.
I think that the other thing that's happened, which follows on from that, because you're not the first person I've spoken to, and I'm including myself in this, I think it's really hard in lockdown not to get a little bit needier about how appreciative you need the people to be.
That's so true.
I've spoken to two friends who've had like massive, almost breakup level conversations with their partners because their partners weren't nice enough about something they'd made.
It's so true.
You know, like where they'll make something and the partner will be like, yes, okay, like that. And they've gone straight to like, what am I doing? I'm wasting my life with this person.
It's just like, well, do you know what? If you're going to add ketchup to my lasagna, then I literally don't know what the last 16 years have been.
I can't remember any happy times. Yeah, I think that's, I think you're not the only person who is feeling like that. And I'm really glad that your partner put the ketchup down.
He knows.
He's learned. He's bloody learned. I'm going to ask you some sort of little quick fiery things, but like hangover, have you got a go-to thing that you eat or drink that makes everything feel all better?
This is another weird one. Thai sensation sweet chili crisps dipped in yogurt.
Great. Oh, just plain yogurt?
Yeah.
I'm trying that. I've never tried that.
And
that
a can of Diet Coke,
amazing.
That's my hangover food. Yeah. That is my leave me to watch endless Real Housewives on the TV with my massive, massive body-sized bag of these crisps and a pot of yogurt and do not Beautiful. Talk to me until I've finished all of it, because only then will I feel human again.
Glorious.
I'm a, I'm a joy. I'm a joy. I'm an absolute delight.
Have you ever had a patch where, like, in your life, where for any reason you ate the same thing every day?
Oh, yeah. I'm quite like that anyway. I become obsessed with one type of thing. Like I said to you, now I'm obsessed with the tofu thing. So you've got, like, this
Korean video. Right.
Yeah. So I eat that every day. I'm obsessed now with eating noodles with tofu, and I'll eat that every day until I've sickened myself with it, and then I move on to something else. I wonder what that is. What is that?
I don't actually. I don't know. I think... I don't know. I think it's just a personality type thing, isn't it?
I think I've got personality disorder.
I do you know what? I think it's, I don't know. I have a thing where I like you, I will wing recipes, but I sort of, it depends on what it is, but I sort of don't really look forward to winging recipes. I much rather, I love looking at recipes and I love cooking from recipes. Mm. But I will do things like, I very rarely cook the same thing twice, which has been very annoying for several partners. But no, but it's, I think that it's the opposite of what you're doing though, isn't it? And it's just as annoying for everyone around me. Like, it's, everyone's like, but that was really nice.
But that must be really stressful, Jess. Can we please have that again? You've got, your boy.
Oh, so... I mean, I do for him. Well, actually, yeah.
Because I always thought, like,
I do like bangers and mash loads.
That's a good, that's a good one.
Like, so that's not true. I think, I mean, things like, I do like a lasagna, but then I'll be like, oh, I'm not doing that again for months. That took ages. I'll do a moussaka next time, or I do it. You do know what I mean? Like, there has to be some variation in it, or I feel like I'm in a horrible film or a trap.
See, I just like the security of everything just being the same. Just want the
I think your psychology there makes far more sense than mine. Like, no, what am I striving for? Why can't I just settle down?
Why can't I settle down with one dish? I'm a very committed. I'm a very committed cuisine person, whereas in you're a cuisine slag.
Yes, I'm absolute doggy knickers when it comes to cuisine.
When you were growing up though, in your house, did your parents not have that kind of like, these are the five meals that we have on rotation?
No.
Okay.
There'd be like a cooked breakfast that would happen most weekends.
Oh, lush.
There would be, I remember random things. There were certain staple things. My dad's mum was Austrian, so there would be some random Austrian things like schnitzel and clear soups and stuff like that that I remember. They're the only things I remember with any regularity, other than that and maybe roasts.
Yeah.
But my dad was away in the week and my mum worked shift as a nurse. So I didn't have home cooking done.
Okay.
Really, apart from at weekends until I was 11 and then I lived with just my mum. And then we did. But still, I'm exactly like her, basically. Like, we're perverts for recipe books. I love looking at recipe books and planning things that I'm going to make. But it does mean that you're sort of always looking for new ones. But I do, she's got a couple of things that she makes that she'd call her signature dishes, Esther. that she, like, there's a, there's this mushroom, Malaysian wedding mushroom satay thing that she just makes. Amazing. Really.
I love Southeast Asian food.
It's good, isn't it? It really is good.
But you,
at the moment, you love it.
Oh God, loving it like a right old, don't know. But don't know what I was going with there. But when you said about a cooked breakfast, this is something else that me and my husband do. We call it a Del Boy tea.
Nice. Oh, so, you have it for dinner?
Well, we have it for dinner.
Yes.
Always on Only Fools and Horses, they were always having like sausage, beans, toast, you know, cooked tomatoes on like a Friday night before they went out to the pub. So occasionally me and my husband do a Del Boy tea, fried bread, the whole shebang.
Nice. Do you even have black pudding?
Do you know what? I was never a fan of black pudding.
No, me neither.
But I did like white pudding growing up.
Oh.
My mum used to do white pudding.
fascinating.
Have you had white pudding?
I've never, ever tried white pudding in my life. Is it a Geordie thing, that?
Yeah, it's, well, yeah. So my mum always...
Or a northeastern thing.
It must be. I don't even know what white pudding is, because black pudding is the blood, which always put me off. But yeah. What's in white pudding? It kind of looks like...
I mean, it's not going to be more dubious than whatever's in a fucking sausage. So there's no...
No.
The psychology of it is batshit.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's still awful.
Oh, right. Okay. You've had a Google.
Yeah, I've had a Google. But it's definitely... To be fair, I never tried black pudding, so I don't... I can't... But it just never appealed. Like, the moment as a child, no. The moment it was like, this is pig's blood, I was like, yeah, no, I'm all right. It's like in Lebanon.
I've tried to like it. I've desperately tried to like it, and it's, I can't. What's that in Lebanon?
But in Lebanon, they'll, like, have sheep's testicles, and it doesn't matter, like... The moment you know what it is, you're like, no, I'm all right, actually. Although my sister, when I was probably about 11 and she was 14, and she decided she was going to go vegan, and we went to Lebanon and we went to this restaurant, and me and my dad told her that the sheep's testicles were potatoes.
And did she gobble them up?
She ate one, and as she was eating it, no, this is the worst bit, as she was eating it, no. She was going, are you sure these are potatoes? Because they just taste really eggy.
Oh, no.
And my dad was like, yeah, no, it's just the way they do it. And she was like, I just feel like it's got a weird... And honestly, she didn't speak to us for a long time.
Oh.
She was such an animal activist and vegan and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
oh,
an arsehole.
My goodness.
That was an arsehole move on our part.
That
but
was an arsehole move.
Really quite funny. To watch her chow down on a
funny.
Ball bag.
Oh God! But also, I mean, I suppose at least some solace from her animal activist vegan sentiment is that hopefully no sheep has ever been killed specifically so that someone could eat its ballsack.
No,
that is an afterthought. That
the
is,
whole
and
thing.
That is 100% using that sheep up.
That is
you've taken one for the team.
Yeah,
and you've made whatever edible parts of that sheep that it was actually killed for or died for naturally.
And what, now
you've done something very given by making sure that its nut sack didn't go to waste.
And if you go to order your takeaway from Feyruz, then you can, you know, give it a try. Although I don't know if sheep's testicles
right.
are very much street food.
Yeah. The idea that anywhere in Catford with a neon sign saying Lebanese street food was going to sell me a sheep's knacker. But I'll have a look. I'll have a bloody look. I'll put it on. I'll get it on the to-do list.
Yeah.
I can't get my whole life not knowing
TikTok.
If that's an option. Yeah.
Learn
TikTok. Friday. Saturday.
Yeah.
Look up. Sheep nut. I am all right for sheep nuts. Schools and playgrounds have been empty, but because of that, they have grown sentient, but they've got terrible abandonment issues because of the lack of attention, and they all go really weird and start doing things like becoming comedians, like telling bad jokes, like way worse version of those virgin train toilets. Whole buildings are being really needy and trying to cuddle all the teachers and children, but because they're buildings, they keep getting, all the people and humans keep getting scraped or crushed. The buildings keep crying all the time. It makes all the school roofs really pointless, because they're all wet inside anyway. Also, the swings and roundabouts get really slippery from the... Anyway, it's a disaster, especially because we need to put our kids back in these spaces as soon as possible. So it's terrible these spaces are being useless. Luckily, the schools and playgrounds have agreed to get therapy and work on themselves, and everything will be great again, but only if you, Esther, and weirdly, it does have to be you, do a 1,500-metre double child piggyback. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're the hero of all people forever and ever and ever. So obviously you're knackered, you're starving. Your reward is going down in history as a hero of who saved our playgrounds and schools for all time. Like, your place on Wikipedia and in the history books is set, but your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. So I don't want anything to be ethical. I don't care about the consequences of anything. Couldn't give a fuck about healthiness. I'm not interested in that. I want the most joyful possible feast of your life. And it doesn't even have to be possible, any of this. I'd love to know that if in your happiest, highest, hungriest state, what you would have if anything was possible and nothing had any consequences, to eat, to drink, and if there's a who, with, and where, then who, with, and where.
Okay, after I'd done my double piggyback for 1,500 metres, smashed it out of the park, I would want to go to Edgware Road and get a lamb shawarma drizzled in beck loads of tahini and a can of Coke, and I would go with my dad.
Oh,
because I miss him. That's just made me well up. Oh,
sorry. It's such a short and powerful answer. It's such a good answer.
It's also made me really hungry. It's made me hungry and I'm crying. I'm just, I'm everything all at the same time.
Oh, mate. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm in my tum. What a lovely episode. Thanks so much to Esther. Follow her on Instagram at Esther Manito. ESTHERMANITO. She's doing some really funny alternative Pictionary on there a couple of times a week. Also, the podcast is doing some Instagram lives. They're a bit slapdash. They're normally around 9 o'clock on a school night. Make sure you're following at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram and on Twitter to find out when the next one is. The next one will be the rescheduled one that I had to blow out annoyingly because of my kids' terrible behaviour with the amazing Sophie Hagen. If you've got any spare money, please support your local food banks in whatever way they prefer. Some of them prefer money, some of them prefer food. If you've got even more spare money, check out patreon.com/thehooveringpod and see how you can support the podcast. If you've got time and you'd like to do some cooking for other people, you're based in Southeast London, have a look at quarantine.cooks on Instagram because they're doing some amazing stuff that I've been joining in with when I've had time. Follow me if you want at Jessica Foster Q on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to send me anything longer than a tweet, you can do that through my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.